go to thecognitiverampage.com. Feel free to contribute, donate, keep fueling the change, whatever it is that you guys can do to help continue to allow this to happen. None of this would happen without you and your love and your support and, of course, your contributions. Love you.
Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. My book, The Cognitive Rampage, A Scientific Approach to Self-Discovery, Change, and Life Optimization, is now available on Amazon. Search The Cognitive Rampage, and you'll find the second edition there, as well as the Kindle version as well.
That's the beginning of the podcast. Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage Hurricane Podcast, live from the Cognitive Cave in the middle of Orlando, where, surprisingly, it really hasn't been that bad. We're camped out, well, in the studio now, but we're all hunkered in, if you will. Perhaps it's a southern term, but Patricia, the lovely, she's here.
Ew.
Hey, my boy Carrie Pels from way back, man. Thanks for joining me, dog, and hanging.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, you hit me up. You're like, dude, I'm coming to hang out. Like, all right.
Yeah, couldn't sit at home alone.
Yeah, brought the dogs together. Jax and Grace are hanging out too. They're divided right now. They're in separate rooms.
They needed a break.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that video. I was going, when did that happen?
Which video?
Where they saw each other for the first time.
Oh, yeah. When they first walked in, I was trying to get like a full on, like, you know, some tearjerker, right? And it wasn't.
Slow motion walking.
They just started fighting and smelling each other's privates.
Yeah. Let me smell your butt.
Yeah, I didn't set that up. It wasn't. It was in my head. It was epic. Then they were just like, I don't even fucking know you.
Like that one video where the lion is hugging that man where they see each other after seeing each other for a long time. No?
Nope. I feel like, we have a feeling we're going to be doing that a lot on this podcast.
You've not ever seen that video.
No, ma'am. I'm terrible.
So great. He reunites with the lion that he tamed that was back into the wild.
I have. That's kind of, it's still a risk. If the lion's charging at me and hasn't seen me in a while, what if it just pissed off, you bounced for so long, and it's not like, good to see you. It's like, fuck you.
50-50, I mean.
Yeah, it's 50-50 at fucking best every time you're hanging out with a lion.
It's not like the risk changed from the first time.
Could you do that though? Like, really be a fucking lion tamer? Like, that's some shit. Like, every day knowing I'm gonna walk in this cage with a fucking man eater, it will murder you. And it's pissed. It's been locked down forever. It can't be a cat, right? It can't do what it wants to do. I wouldn't do it.
No, I probably wouldn't do
that. I don't like them in cages anyway, but fucking,
I don't like cats.
If that was your choice, yeah, I like working with the cats. They're very popular. It's always those dudes that get fucking eaten,
I've
too.
I've never been a cat chick. I'm more of a dog chick. Yeah. Cats kind of freak me out. You'll be totally content, and then they go,
well, they're creepy.
Yeah. They're just creepy. What did you just see?
Yeah. Well, half the listeners now hate you. All of you.
I'm not. I love animals. I would still house one. I just wouldn't go out of my way to get one.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't turn it away.
There's some people that are like an everything animal that, like, it's, well, obviously we love them, right? We love them equally, right? There's no division. Right. But what you would bring inside your home, right, as a pet and
a preference.
Right. There's some that are just like, yeah, look what we found, and bring in the crickets. You know what I mean? And then there's those that are just like, no, we're dog people, right? We're cat people. Yeah. I think there's definitely a strong division.
Yeah, but there's a line though, because snakes, spiders, when you get into reptiles.
Yeah. What's the fucking line?
No.
What's the line?
Reptiles in general. No, I'm good.
When they consume the air.
Anything that can sneak up on you that quiet and bite you, I don't want to have nothing to do with it.
All right. So anything, what's the line for you, Patricia?
If I can smell you before I see you, that's the line.
All right. So like weasels too, that's included.
Yeah, they're out.
Yeah. And nope. Yeah, birds sometimes.
Birds, I guess so. But
yeah, birds I can deal with.
To me, that's so inhumane.
They're a lot of work.
Yeah, and they're inhumane kind of to me. Like the fucker, you know, some don't fly, right? Some chill anyway. Some bird person out there is like, fuck you, Adam, you don't fucking know. No. I don't know.
I love the noise of the birds outside that I'm feeding with the bird feeder, but they're free.
When you teach them to talk and they yell at you in the morning, then birds aren't fun.
But birds, you're still not, right, yeah, but you're still not crossing the border. Like, all right, you got a fucking bird. I get it. But what's the line to where, you
like
know.
Like a python or.
Yeah, is that forest where, like, this motherfucker has eight tarantulas? Like, no, is that a line?
I am not going to his house.
Well, you see the one guy in fucking Houston had the, you were telling me, right, at the exotic snake collection?
Yeah.
And flooded his whole house and lost them all?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Somewhere swimming around Houston's a black mamba. Mm-hmm. Some other fucking crazy shit.
They'll figure out a mate.
Yeah.
They'll find a way.
That shit, it affected all the Everglades, Florida, all that stuff. I think there's still a few anacondas in the Everglades, right?
Oh, there's a bunch still in
there. Yeah, a bunch, right? They had an issue they were putting out, open to kill on. That's crazy.
I was thinking, though, with all this water moving everything, what about all the alligators and
they
things
all
that
places.
Are just going to go?
Well, to bring people to, Patricia is new to being a Florida resident, and we've welcomed her properly to Florida with her first hurricane as well. Hurricane Irma's going through.
In the first week you were here?
Yeah, the very first week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have been blessed.
I think he's actually
welcome to Florida.
Was praying to the Florida gods to say,
did you see
I
that?
I just went through the Arizona heat wave. Punish her.
Well, all right. I had a problem in Arizona with the heat. So, and I voiced about the 125 sunset, you know, I mean, I couldn't be outside. I couldn't do anything. It's just fucking hot. There's no green anywhere. Anything that has green has a thing that'll live on it. That'll kill you, or a thorn 17 inches long.
Not cool.
No. And there's very, it's scarce with the green. And so I'm used to being, I'm raised in the green, man. I saw it everywhere around me. Take that shit for granted. Yeah. And living out there. And that's so, and I caught that heat wave. So I'm out there when that heat wave since 1925. You know what I mean? And I'm out there like, it is 1925. This is terrible. And then as soon as we get to Florida, I'm like, well, welcome to Florida. I'd like you to meet Irma.
This is Irma. She'll be visiting for a couple
days. Now that I just got done talking about how much Arizona sucks, let me show you Florida.
Well, if you look behind you here now, CNN is on the board talking about the same shit they have been for the last 3.5 hours.
I know we just shook hands with Harvey, but let me introduce you to Irma.
Right. Yeah, we did. We drove through that too. Our drive over, man, like, We took the northern route. We're going south. Obviously, that was done. So we went north through Amarillo, et cetera, and really didn't hit any rain. Amarillo by evening. Right?
I could not see
and,
it.
And then we change it. And as we move south, as we didn't really get hit with rain until we hit Atlanta. We had to cross all the way to Atlanta because the rain had moved up.
Yeah.
Dude, it was like a race in the storm. I'm looking at radar, watching the red creep towards 75 as we make the turn. We just outran it coming south.
It was horrible. I thought I was some tough chick, you know, doing the snow, and especially like when we went through Albuquerque.
We don't have to bring that up.
That was the one time I was like,
nothing happened.
In Albuquerque.
Nothing happened.
No, Adam was like,
nothing happened.
Stuff, no big deal. We're listening to some good music, and like literally all of a sudden it just starts pouring snow.
Snow. Hold up. Snow, man.
And I'm looking at him and he's like this. It's like that scene from Back to the Future where his mom's on him. He's like this.
I'll drive. I'll deal with some Florida weather, right? I don't even like the storms.
The rain's not that bad to drive.
Yeah, I hate that too. I hate that too. But the snow, I wasn't raised in it. I'd rather not. I just fucking rather not.
You don't know how it goes.
I wasn't expecting it. Driving through the desert, it's not in your mind to think it's going to fucking snow now.
It was like night and day in seconds.
It just comes down. I guess it was a snowstorm on the radar, right? Then semis are passing you at 7,000 miles an hour. They don't give a shit. And they're riding by. I'm like, it's Talladega Nights. But that's just so some of the other cars, man. I'm freaking. I'm like, I'm not driving. She spent time in Alaska driving. I'm like, it's all you.
Yeah, I lived in Colorado also. So I was, this was like nothing for me. But the second we went through the rain, I was like, hey, I'm sorry I said all those things about you.
Pull over.
You were right.
Man, you white knuckle through that rain, man. Oh, when we made that U-turn through Atlanta, and it's really coming down, and people are passing you at 6,000 miles an hour, right? I usually just, I find a semi, get right behind that semi in the right lane, and I chill. That's what I ride, because I'm like, look, he has a long way to stop. And if he's got to stop, he's going to clear the way for me. What I don't want is the semi behind me, you know, chilling. Yeah. I'll get in the right lane and just ride that rain. It's bad, though, when you can't even see. When the windshield, you're like, all right, you're just following the taillights of the person in front of you.
And then there's the aggressive people that think they are.
Or the ones that turn on their hazards. Here's a good idea.
Oh, yeah, your hazards.
I'm going to flash you.
Don't turn on the fucking hazards when it's storming. You do that when you're pulled over and stopped.
Right.
Yeah, that bothers me too. They ride with the flash. I was like, hey, I'm just warning you all.
I'm like, going this way or that way. We don't know yet, though.
I'm a doofus. Please go around.
In case you don't notice, it's raining out and traffic is terrible, so I'm an emergency.
That's really what their mentality is, since you're saying, You can't hold me accountable right now. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah, it is.
I'm gonna do this.
It does, but you want to do it, but just only if you stop, please put on the emergency brakes, but or emergency flashes. But driving through any of that weather, for me, it's still white knuckle driving through that stuff, man. Because at any minute you feel the hydroplane every couple of seconds.
Yeah. You know, I don't think I've ever heard fuck that bitch more. You know, I'd be like, hey, babe, there's somebody that's like really pushing it. Who cares? Fuck that bitch. We're going this speed limit. Let them go around.
Yeah.
Then, and everything.
Look, I argue that if you ride somebody's ass, all right, if you ride my ass, you are seriously putting my life in danger. Because if I have to stop, you're coming up the tailpipe and in my ass. So for me, when you're riding my ass and it's raining sideways, we got an issue. Because I'm like, dude, you're kind of holding a big ass Ford gun to my head. You know, like, hey, I'm holding this gun to you and get the fuck over or move, right? But that's dangerous as shit, man. I always want to make a bumper sticker. It was like, if you can read this, I'm legally allowed to shoot you. Right? Because my life is, I felt threatened. My life was in danger. Now, I bet enough money to a lawyer. You could prove that. You know, I'm driving. He's riding my ass at 98 miles an hour in a 70. Right? He's up here. I'm like, dude, you're just putting everybody in danger right now, man. But I do. If it is chill time, I'm getting over. You know, I will ride. Yeah. But if it's chill time, I just get the fuck over, white knuckle that rain for a little bit. Just relax. But some people, it'd be a 19.2 Chrysler Dodge Caravan. And motherfucker got tires on it 2 inches thin. Just right by you. You're like, what the fuck? He's not even on the road. Just riding the fuck out on donuts.
Yeah, they don't care. They have nothing to lose.
Yeah, I don't think they give a shit, man.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They don't people, give a shit.
No, you're out there riding. You realize that shit is fucking nuts. But that drive down we did, it was seriously racing the storm, really.
Yeah.
And a lot of people evacuating were doing that. They were like racing the storm, trying to leave. I mean, for some people, how would you feel, right? You live paycheck to paycheck, right? You really don't. That's fucked most people in the United States.
Yeah.
And you get the fair warning that the Cat 5 is coming, right? It's hitting on it. It's Armageddon is coming, right? And you bug out. You spend your last paycheck on fuel. You sit in traffic for 9 to 12 hours, get to a hotel that's jacked their price up by $150. You stay there for two nights, you book, and then you really find out, possibly, really didn't have to.
Okay, so you exert yourself to save yourself, thinking you have cancer, and then instead you're told you have the flu.
Yeah, that's coming home going like, fuck, I'm not dying. What the fuck?
Yeah, you have to, because either way, you're a dipshit if you don't go. So I'd rather try.
Well, that's the move. That's why I think they learn when the guy from Houston, I like that mayor from Houston, though, right? He's so likable.
Yeah.
It's like a grandfather had his glasses on and shit. I'm like, this guy knows stuff, right? He was like, I'm safe with him.
He was very confident.
Yeah. Just stay put. If it's not an emergency, don't call 911, right? Stay put. I'm thinking, remember right when he said it, I'm like,
oh no.
He was like, you're like, good. What? I'm like, he messed up. He just told people to stay put. You do that. And I get it. 6 million people to evacuate. That's a motherfucker. I'm not a logistics person. I don't work for the county.
We evacuated like 7 down here.
Was it 7 total?
Yeah,
I thought it was around 3 something.
No, they said it was around 7 total.
Well, you never know by the time she moves up the coast, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of people to move out. And they started early. Miami wasn't playing. Miami was just like our Lizard King governor. Man, that guy, God, dude looks like a reptile, I swear to God. Leave now.
Sorry that you can't stay in this county.
Damn, leave the state, please. What's the name of that damn snake in the Jungle Book?
That's what I was doing.
We only had a device.
Dang it.
That could look up everything.
We have to charge our devices right now.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we're instructed to do.
Shere Khan was the tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People
are answering right now.
You stupid motherfucker.
I know.
And I grew up watching the VHS version, the actual movie version, not the cartoon version, in my grandmother's den in Pine Hills. And I used to love to watch that flick, man. I wish I could probably look that up too. The original Jungle Book before the animated part like that. Huh? The new one, I thought they fucked that shit up. But I used to watch that shit when I was a kid over and over in that damn den. And that's why Mowgli, and I can only get Shere Khan, Mowgli, man. People, Baloo the bear, obviously. And what's the fucking, I'm trying to do it without Google, right? You got to play these kind of games sometimes, right?
Keep going. Yep.
We may not have, no, go ahead. Search it out. I can't bear not to know it. Either way, for some reason, someone
Shere Khan.
No. Now,
that was Kai.
Kai.
Yes.
Kai. Yes. Yeah. That's it. What do we have for her, Johnny?
It's me, Kai.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's way better than what I was doing. For real.
He tries to sound like he's so sexy. You will know.
What gender?
Kai.
Holy shit, that's good. That's fucking good, man. Hey, can I don't know why, but that was actually really fucking good. Governor Rick Scott.
Back to the subject.
Speaking of reptiles, well, is that the line, right? You can't have a Governor Rick Scott for a pet either. Fucking no, but they wasted no time. They were like, get the fuck out, because then you're at least saying, hey, we put it on you. We told you to leave. But all they're gonna do now is have to face, like, hey, bitch, we did all the things we just said and nothing. But again, you're safe, right? I would agree, right? I think if you got vulnerable people around you, you got to fucking leave, for one.
Well, their first advice was to try to go to your own family, you know, before you go seek shelter.
You got so many people that their individuality of where they feel safe is different. So do you evacuate or do you not?
Right.
You know, it's based really on how you feel and what you feel your safety and your security is at that point.
Yeah, and with so many cried wolf scenarios that happen. You know, I'm born and raised here. I know enough people that go like, fuck it. This ain't doing shit. You know, we're hanging out. They don't do anything, right? And most of the time, they're right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this may end up being that for us up here. Now, I know the Keys got fucking annihilated. And, you know, hearts out of the Caribbean, too, they got ripped apart.
Yeah.
But Orlando, we're probably not going to see much of that. It'll get here. But, you know, we say that. I know my mom. Shout out to your mom. Love you. She was going to join the call, too. My brother may join, too, out in Anaheim, Cali. But they were just getting rained on and shit like that out there. But nothing too heavy yet.
In Sarasota?
Yeah, in Sarasota. But by the time I think it gets to Tampa and up, it'll maybe even be Tropical Storm Cat 1. So, but you see that, right? I think it's better to be prepared, right, than being like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Think about Houston, how much they probably would have loved that, 1 week notice?
Yeah. You know what? That's what started it is. Yeah, it's a bitch to evacuate 6,000 people or 6 million people out of Houston and surrounding areas. But, buddy, it's worse to try to rescue thousands of that many people that stay when you don't evacuate. Yeah. That's harder because now you're doing it on boats and shit. That's what they're going through. You know, in Miami, Florida, you know, Lizard King was just like, get the fuck out. And everybody's like, you know, they bounced out. Is that the risk, right? You just, in Florida, hey, you moved here, dog. Is that what you tell that family that's paycheck to paycheck is hurting, you know? And maybe they do go back to wind damage or a soaked rented home, you know, some shit like that. No, that's still fucking devastating.
Yeah, that's also everyday life for a lot of people. It's a choice we make when we choose where we live.
Right. Like, I guess you get the deal on land, right? Down in the deltas, right? It's underwater. It's a swamp. You build a house there, you kind of know, right?
Right. I mean, we kind of learned that with altitude.
Yeah. Fuck altitude.
Yes.
That didn't work out so well.
Right. But it's all these things are learned behaviors. I mean, everybody that's kind of been around Florida, they know they're going to experience hurricanes, right?
Yeah, right.
It comes from the territory.
He sucks. Every time I say right, he's
like, you got two options, is drive north or stay at home.
Right, yeah. I mean,
pretty much it.
And when we're sitting in Orlando, they're screaming East Coast, up the East Coast, up the East Coast. And I was even worried, you know, my daughter's on that side of town. That's where I'm like, okay, you're 40 miles out. And people evacuated, run out of there. They run north. Some ran west on 75. Then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, shit. You know, Naples, by the way. And I lived on fucking Marco Island, man. And in some places, it's like 3-4 feet. That's all you really got. You know, high tides and it floods certain places, man. That island, man, shout out and love to my friends still on Marco Island. And I hope everybody left out of there and everyone's safe, too. Is that place?
It was a little bit less, though, than what they ended up expecting, right?
So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was when it got to them, it was 2.
Yeah, well, I think it was pretty strong when the Keys, too.
I mean, it was a strong 2, though.
Yeah, it's still, I mean,
the
a lot of winds.
Yeah,
the flooding, too, right? We were talking the other day, remember, what do you take? Do you live in a place where earthquakes happen, where any building you're in at the point is dangerous, right? It falls on your head. Or, I mean, more than likely, then you fall in a crack. And you live with earthquakes that possibly could cause tsunamis or typhoons after that,
yeah,
with fires, brush fires, traffic and drought, and heat up to 125. on the West Coast, right? And the most of the time it's beautiful. Don't get it twisted in some of the air. Or on the East Coast, you take the hurricane with twisters and tornadoes off of it and potential flooding and alligators.
It's funny. Your second option has such a different flow when you're speaking of it. He's like, or you take this lavishing alligators.
Was I biased? I was biased to Florida.
Probably fun to look at.
I could deal with having to be in water as opposed to being burnt.
Yeah, I think
it's like the dead drought. Don't forget your water.
Now, if you're now in Florida, where it's green and still beautiful,
right?
Thing that. Burn, it burns, but not long because shit's green. So it doesn't burn forever, right? Eventually hit some live bushes. You know, I did pose, I think, a point. And now some scientists, a person that knows, is going to be like, this motherfucker is retarded. Well, I can't use that, but again, I can't say stupid, right? Yeah. Forgive the term. But in Arizona, I still wondered if plants in green, right, help us breathe, other than the cactus, which is everywhere, right? And it helps, right? It really does well at absorbing things in the air. Where's the fucking oxygen really coming from? You know, right? And whether it's blowing in from wherever, I mean, I get it. It comes from places. Not to mention it was 1,000, 1,500 feet up too, which a Florida boy's not used to it at a topping 81 feet here in Central Florida. But then I thought, you know, there's got to be a difference in the air quality even from having an ocean on either sides, you know, mm-hmm. a couple hundred miles apart and maybe even shorter in some places. But in a place where you're surrounded by green and oxygen, the air level had to be somewhat better. If somebody listens to the podcast ever does know, shoot me some information.
Yeah, I'm curious about the death rate as far as people dying of oxygen intake.
Well, no, I just mean influence, right?
You know what I'm saying? Compare it to Florida and Arizona and see if that is like an actual like
a thing. Difference. Yeah. It's a thing. I miss the beautiful part of Arizona where it's just the temperature goes right 78 to 85 all day and, you know, doesn't rain, et cetera, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's 3 months out of the year that Arizona is just beautiful. But the rest of the time, it's not as beautiful.
6 months.
Yeah.
Six months. That's half the time.
Yeah.
No. That's a difference in it.
Seasonal. It's just get warm for a few months and then it's beautiful all the time.
Shit. 6 months, it's fucking miserable. And for 3 months, you're like, you find God. When they tell you find God in the desert, you do because it's hot as fuck. And
you just get barefoot.
Oh, you can't. And you get the mail and you're like,
it's driving distance from wherever you really want to be.
Yeah, the wind blows. You know, you're like a breeze. You're like, ow. There's a warm chill factor. It's fucking nuts. It's oven bacon, global warming. It's heating up everywhere. There's no water in sight.
It's not all of Arizona. It's just Phoenix. I lived there for a really long time, like 18 years straight.
No salt water.
And then there was a break with Colorado and Alaska.
You need to take a dip.
Yeah. I wanted to hit that the minute we got back. I'm like, let's hit the beach as well.
And then Irma said, nope.
Yeah. Still, I'm like, we could surf one day.
One day.
One day.
We were trying, but we just couldn't do it. There was too much to. I thought about it.
Yeah, that picture I took and posted a new summer, and I was like, that washing machine, kick your ass. You just try to swim out there. They were calling 6 to 8 feet, and I'm like, and I love how they say poor conditions under surf. And I'm like, that's subjective.
Yeah.
That poor, that's a subjective thing.
Yeah, that might be a poor decision, actually.
If you live in New Smyrna and Cocoa, and it's so random to have a great surf day out there, it's hit or miss, really, and a lot of missing, that you think you live there one day, and you're like, for fucking one day.
I'll take it.
I got washing machines, 6 to 8 footers. I'm going to have to work this shit. I think you do it. I think if I sat for 2 years and I'm, you know, surfing one day out of 2-3 weeks, you know, really decently, I think I may have to try it.
I would have to jump as well. You surf too, Carrie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was telling her about, was it your cousin or somebody? He was out there with us at the beach that day and young kid. I want to say he was military or something. That he was trying to ride the board all day.
Yeah.
Remember the young kid? Mm-hmm. And then he landed in his first wave, right? He did really good. And he popped up. Remember he came in. I can't remember. What's his name?
It was my cousin. I'm trying to think which cousin.
Well, I know you think like 35 people right now.
Yeah.
But it was young boy. I just kept calling him young boy. Chris. He was like 20 years old, involved Air Force, Army, some shit like that. He was just hanging out with us. And he caught a wave finally. He was trying. He kept falling like crazy, but he didn't quit. He he walked in and walked back up to the surf like, oh, hell yeah, man. I said, no, what was better, that or the first time you were with a woman? And he was like, that. I'm like, now you're a man, sir. Now you're officially a man, all right? Now you get it.
That's so cute. How old was that person?
I don't know. How old is he?
Oh, he's 22, 23 now.
Now, yeah. So probably 20, 21 at the time. Yeah.
You just started the military, getting kicking off with it.
Yeah, something
just
like that.
Just checking to see if he was just trying to make it up.
Hey, the weather usually behind a hurricane is sometimes pretty nice. So yeah. After it passes, you know, and well, it's Monday. It's going to go overnight tonight and into Monday, I think. And we really start to feel the effects later tonight in Orlando. I think about 9 or 9 to 11 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Who?
The news.
I don't know. My kid texted me from Northport, and she said it was like 9 o'clock down there, so probably okay. 11, 11:30 up here.
Yeah, something like that.
I think that WLB actually said that it was going to be about maybe a cat three. See, you have no idea what I just said, and that's when you're asking who. You don't know. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Nobody freaking knows who CLB is.
No, me neither. That's what I was trying to figure out. Who is the CLB? Like, what? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, CNN is pretty much, if you're not tuned
it's
in.
It's like a loop.
Yeah, if you're not tuning the cable, because I cut the cable, right? It's done. Cable's gone a long time ago. So they just play the loop of the certain things. You know, the Trump Jr. defendant has recalled the details of the White House involvement, crafting response, allegedly met with somebody that had some inside information on Hillary Clinton when they were running. So he met, didn't tell Trump about it. Now they're making a thing about it. It's all wrapped up, if you ask me, but. They're rotating, and then they get to the hurricane stuff and kind of on a loop there too. But if you want to comment or update too, what's happening. But I think what Sarasota, it's 7:42 here now. And the way I look at it on the radar, it's over Cape Coral now. So yeah, Sarasota probably within the hour or two. That would put us around 9, 10 o'clock in Sarasota, right? So yeah. Probably us much, much later.
11:30, 12.
But being
at the earliest,
right, and we're catching the north end of the storm. So the way it's kind of moving, it's actually at almost more direct north right now. So we stay in the northeastern,
which is
the shitty part of
it.
Right, the tornado side.
Pay attention to those warnings.
Yeah.
So it is right now coming down on Sarasota?
No, it'll be about an hour or two.
About an hour. It's a little south.
About an hour or two, moving about 10, 12 miles an hour north. It's heading more direct north now, though. It's not. Which is bad for the people that it's approaching directly over for sure, but land will break it up. Land will kind of break it up. That's what I'm thinking, you know, Cat 1 or even Tropical Storm by the time we even see those effects of it, if it keeps cutting through land, I think. But hell, Irma's been different anyway. Decreased, strengthened, decreased. Yeah. It's going to go this coast. I think I would respect them more if they go, we just don't know.
Right. It's going to hit somewhere.
Just say that, dude. Just say, we fucking don't know. We'd like to draw a bunch of squiggly lines to make you feel safer about where it's going to go. But the truth is, we don't fucking know. So, leave. Just fucking leave.
How about make your own decision?
Yeah. And you know, where's that line, too? The line to where you have personal responsibility for what you do. We look around at our local county, the government's, well, let's do what they tell us. You said stay in our homes.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what the when are you a fucking human too, right? That you either decided to stay or you...
When you are 18 years old.
Yeah. When you make that choice, right? And then the governments, the local governments take shots at it, right? When they're really just trying to have FEMA and shit out there to help. I mean, I did see that some of the shelters, right? They're checking IDs at shelters and people with warrants are being arrested. So if you're coming to the shelter to stay, I was kind of mixed on that. I was kind of like, well... You're trying to help them out, but then you put them in jail at the same time. And trust me.
People will say, I'm helping you out by putting you in jail.
True. Hey, it's better than if you're, you know, don't have a place to stay, right? And staying out there, at least at the time. But, you know, that process is fucked up. There's a lot of people have bullshit warrants that are out for dumb shit.
Everything is so circumstantial.
Oh, hell yeah. You got a warrant for some toll thing you forgot about in a somewhere place and you arrest me for that shit when I got my family with me. We got a fucking problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the problem I have is like, you know, I'm showing up, dude. It's a warrant that I was served. It was something, you know, and hopefully they'd let you explain at least right there. You know what I mean? But they're filled.
Yeah.
It's immediate right to the shelter, which I don't really remember, you know, being through, I was looking at the list on Wikipedia of how many hurricanes and kind of those. I remember Ivan, Charlie, Janine was one of them. Francis was the other one. And it's like, yeah, I've been through pretty much most of those. And yeah, Matthew and obviously Andrew. And I don't remember so many people in shelters immediately before. I remember a lot of people staying home. And it seems like a lot of people are just like, phew, to the shelter.
Yeah, I think from just, wasn't there something recent for people that did stay and they were harmed?
Yeah, and the news puts that out there too. And my fucking hats off is to Houston too. They did not fuck around. You know what I mean? It wasn't looting. There weren't bullshit. Yeah, and people were helping.
I was so happy to see that. Even in this own atmosphere, like, you know, everybody was sort of frantic at the gas stations, and but I didn't sense any sort of animosity or anger from any, or like, move, woman, you know?
Yeah, I didn't get much of that out. Overall,
a lot of people were patient where I was at.
Yeah.
Which is usually not common because they scatter.
Well, drama or trauma usually does bring people together, but it's kind of early for it to bring that togetherness because you haven't felt the pain of it yet.
Yeah, so with three of us on our experience of what it was like out there, and we were in the aisles plenty of times, you know, and multiple stores, and going through that is I really didn't see a whole lot of get out of my ways, what the fuck. Now, I saw some people in a hurry. I saw some people really trying to get their shit together, but I didn't see a whole lot of fuck you, you know, get out of my ways.
Yeah, it was more like, can you tell me where?
Yeah. You know,
a lot of people in the store that would probably not normally go into that store of Home Depot or Lowe's, wherever we were, where they're looking lost.
Brought to you by.
Yeah, one of those two. But there was no anger or move over.
Yeah, which is impressive. And I think you talked about maybe there was some looting in Miami happening at some location already.
I think on the south end.
Yeah, that's sad, man. I mean, immediately. I mean, there were businesses I saw boarding up when I was downtown, Winter Garden or Windermere, like, really?
Yeah, I know. At first you think, what?
Yeah.
But then think about how much safer you would feel as a business owner going home to protect your own family, knowing that those are boarded up and you don't have to worry about people stealing from you.
Yeah, for sure. And even with the term we were talking the other night on how many restaurants locally and businesses closed down by, you know, Walmart was closed at 2, you know, restaurants missed out on a night, you know, which is 10, 15 grand a night for some restaurants. And really, here we are into Sunday night. And
everything very well could have stayed operating in this area.
Oh, for sure.
Almost and they would have made 9, 10
killer money.
Yeah, you could be going right now. I mean, you're at 7:48 right now, and you've had some heavy rain. They put a 7 o'clock curfew.
7 o'clock curfew on us.
Yeah, 7 o'clock curfew. And yesterday would have been a lot of income for some people too. You know.
Yeah.
But safety's better, right? And because they do need at least that day to board up, right? Get your shit.
You need 1 day at least to prep your house.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
For a minimum. One day.
Yeah, my mom was telling me about some code. I don't remember what year they passed that houses were supposed to be built with hurricane shutters after certain years. And, you know, because for me, I'm like, I'm not drilling into the foundation of the home. You start putting all those drill screws in the shit, you get water intrusion over time. Like, you got a problem. You'd rather just let that shit break, plastic that thing up, and get a new window. And I mean, shutters are the shit. When I was on Marco Island, I forgot what hurricane it was that came through when I was living on Marco, shuttered the whole house up. That shit. That'll freak you out sometimes. You're sitting in the house and, you know, the back patio had, you know, 8-foot shutters that went all the way across. So it seals everything. Your house is black on the inside. The lights are off. It's dark as shit. You know,
that movie where you're not, you have what, the Purge.
Yeah. It was the Purge, right? You're kind of sitting in your house like, man, it's the fucking Purge. We're on lockdown.
Yeah. Where everything is like.
Yeah. And, you know, you think, fuck, with an 8-foot storm surge, like they're talking about on Marco, that put, you know, that would have put that house at probably water under the windowsill, you know, the house.
Yeah.
And canals were basically everywhere. That place was cut out with, I think it's like 5 miles by 6 miles.
This is Marco Island?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It doesn't take much, man. It's just sitting there. I'm looking at it now. It was just moving over at Cape Canaveral or Cape Coral is where it's at now. Wish you could see it on the actual live screen.
Hopefully it'll keep going into the ocean.
Yeah, so if you're watching, it's up there. If you can see some of the updates, or send us even some, right? I'm pulling up the link here. Watching the radar on this. Can't drop it. Nothing. I'm going to pull up that actual Facebook ad, too.
Yeah, those ones are a little bit older, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 10 miles an hour, 12 miles an hour north. Kind of hanging out.
How's Davey doing? Is he good?
I don't know. My brother may chime in. My brother's out in Cali, but he was helping a neighbor move.
Oh, well, ain't that Lowry-like?
Isn't it? That's very Lowry-like. He was helping a brother move out there, and I don't know. I said, chime in if you want to. Now, Mama Lowry was chiming in earlier on the podcast before we went live. They're actually hunkered down in Sarasota now. You see how they're projecting a new path here. It's just rotating there. It looks like they're saying it's just going to stay in that straight path, a little north-northwest, probably a west-northwest path.
Hannah said it just hit down there. It's a cat, too. Power's still on.
Okay. Yeah, so
that's basically Sarasota area.
Yeah, so Hannah, Hannah's his little daughter.
My little young one.
Yeah, hanging out in Sarasota. So she's in the same town my mom's in there.
She is, okay.
A little south, Northport.
Okay, yeah, Northport. A little bit south. So it's getting to her at 8 o'clock. She's all good out there.
She's doing all right?
She's doing good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, mom's...
They went to a shelter. They did the smart thing.
My kids are all safe in Arizona.
Cincinnati. A shout out to my boy Cincinnati, man.
There's more oxygen here though.
Shout out to you, Bill. He lives down in Naples. He was my neighbor in Naples for a minute. He was a cool cat. We chatted a lot after work, you know, over the beer. Mm-hmm. He's actually a podcast that back when I was just, I think I was coming out of Ustream. It was still just hanging. And Bill and I had a beer. And we had a chat, my neighbor and I.
Was it in the back? I think I actually watched a portion of that on your back porch.
Yeah, he just texted me now. He's in the eye of Irma currently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Mama texted me. Sorry, can't get out. Well, she was on the show a little bit, but Mom was going to chime in. Now, my mom let in, like, she's retired. I work for the county and all this stuff. So she knows all about preparation, shelters, where to check. And her boyfriend, Jack, who I love, man, he's cool. He's been around for a long time. Another guy. He did basically public safety awareness. This was the whole thing for county. So he knows what websites, right, to check. He knows the whole fucking thing. So they're down there like a fucking, you know. Dude,
when I'm a part of their family text messages, it's like legit reports. And if you make sure that you go 40 miles an hour on the 5 until 4, swiftly turn left and you will avoid that wind spurt. And I'm like, and if you're in a family text message on my side, they'd be like, girl, try to make it until there's 11 o'clock, maybe. If you don't make it, call us back.
You get well, my brother's there's out nothing. In Cali. He's sending detail reports. He's a checking Mariners cast. He's like, hey, I mean, we're all doing that.
Oh, it's awesome. I'm like, watching it going.
Stop that for a while and just like take a break from it.
Well, when you see it, you know, the path it's chosen, where it's going, you know, I always kind of watch that stuff, even on the drive, man. That's why you saw me continuously checking radar on the drive over, knowing what you're going to drive through, what's coming up. If you leave now, you can do this. But yeah, she was going to sign on. But oh, yeah, she was a realtor still hanging out. She takes her realtor stuff real serious.
Yeah.
And so the family that she helped buy their first home in Sarasota goes above and beyond, right? She bought them like pool toys and shit like that, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that family is actually coming to camp with them and like 18 animals. I think they're bringing Noah's Ark. And my grandmother and her friend Gracie are there. That's
very kind. You know how many agents out there? I've come across my share of realtors. There's plenty of great ones, but there are some few in there that would get their paycheck. Paycheck is like a paycheck, but coming from a female.
Paycheck.
How many realtors would get their paycheck and just bail? And if they know you need help, they're like, girl, I know you're not going to buy another house for another 4 or 5 years, and they don't care about you anymore, right?
Much less let you camp at their house.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So she just, that's like above and beyond kind.
Yeah, she even let me stay there for 2 days with my dog. When you buy a house from her, you can stay there for 2 days for her.
Hey, that's a smart realtor. He knows what's up.
But she was going to chime in on the call, so I was going to try to do a whole Lowry family podcast really here, because my grandmother's hanging out there, so it would have been memo on the podcast. My mama was chiming in, safe in Sarasota. My brother, he may still chime in. He may jump in with Seneca, Scarlett, his wife, Noelle, out in California. But now my dad wasted no time and took off to Maine, and his house took a direct shot in the Keys.
Yeah. Beautiful house.
Yeah, so and his boat was out there. I'm sure he secured it the best they could, but I don't know what the storm surge was out in the Keys, but they got hit pretty hard. I heard from my brother was actually, there you go, in the family text message. My brother was reporting that Ramrod and Cujo Key were underwater, and from Big Pine on down to Key West were pretty heavily affected and hit hard with like a 6-foot storm surge, something like that.
Yes, it's awesome.
You left this here.
Way too close to you.
I think we're going to run out of beer at the exact same time the hurricane gets here. We'll be on the podcast like half asleep going like, oh, yeah. it's getting really windy. It's getting windy. I mean, now, what's your best hurricane party you remember, Don?
I don't know.
It was that good, huh?
Well, there was one when I was at my parents' house. I ended up at some friend's house for a while and then showed back at my parents' house. I probably shouldn't have.
Yeah, should have just stayed.
Yeah, like woke up in the middle of the night. It was rough.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the storm, but there was one year where we got hit twice where it kind of crossed us and then came back over us.
That was a good gene.
I can't remember.
It was in that three. It was in one of those three hit back to back to back.
Yeah, it was around a lot of this one time. So it had crossed us and it was going to come back, and we had stayed in an apartment once, and then we had to drive back over to my house, but at least had concrete walls, but trees across the fucking road, swerving across that shit. And you really think that, honestly, over drinking and anything else on the night of the hurricane is probably a bad time. Because in case you do have to do some getting on the roof shit.
Emergency takes place.
Yeah. Right. Now, after it's over, you've realized you've kind of settled. Now you maybe want to crack open the beer. Because like, we're just going to sit on the roof for another 36 fucking hours. And be ready for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've never ate this much junk food in my life. I'm starting to believe. I think I have been bought into the whole scam this all is. You see, my boy Eric Rittenberry, the first guest on the podcast with Parker, he posted something about the idea of putting on the scare, tracking the people, see how many people they can move from a location to one. So they know, all right, we can move this many people from a major city this quick. We can sell this much food. We run out of water this fast, fuel this fast.
Yeah.
Kind of like a fire drill. You're doing a little fire drill just to see, and the hurricane's coming to see what happens and test them. And I'm like, dude, how do you sleep at night, Eric? You know, I'm like, yeah, well, and it could be, right? They're just testing out to see what the limits are, how you run. You know, what do you?
Why not?
Because we have food for what, 7 to 10 days if we string it out?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Uh-oh. There goes power.
Oh, my God.
Well, we have lost power, which may have clipped us from the internet, but power came back on.
I wonder.
It says we're still live. So,
all right, there you go. And this is what we call a hurricane.
Yeah, and the power's starting to clip, people.
Wow, that's so funny.
Well, power's back on. We got TV.
Yeah, I'm going to check the comment here. I'm going to end the link to see if it did actually clip us off. If you're watching, find the comments, say something on the thing. But I'm going to click on it now and see if it clipped us off. But if you're hanging, keep hanging. Let's see. I'm going to be watching myself as I'm recording to other people. So.
That's normal behavior, isn't it?
I think so. What's good is I can't hear anything, at least.
I know, right?
Well.
Would it be on your page?
Here we are.
What's good is I can't.
I think we're still live.
That's cool.
Well,
would it be on your page?
You don't know what's real. Oh, yeah. What's recorded?
What's good is I can't hear anything.
So cool.
I think we're still live.
That's cool.
Is live tripping in front of you now?
Would it be on your page? Yeah, but I've already heard you say
that. Hey, we're still live. We went through one power outage, but we are still live, I guess, people. Thanks for hanging out still. We've lost TV. The dogs are barking.
That's crazy.
We just need to turn the TV back on.
Yeah, it's that first switch right there down the side of it. And it should come back on. It's still rotating the same news.
Oh, sweet.
You know, South Korea. It's got a lot of bombs with a crazy motherfucker. Yeah, the North Korea stuff trips me out. Yeah, that. I mean, because you don't want to be right the... I get it, right? All the cerebral, I don't know. I don't know labels, but the ones that go, yeah, it's just all bullshit, right? It's making you scared tactics in North Korea. Yes. And let's not get it twisted, right? We talk about Pearl Harbor, et cetera, knowing they wanted to go to war anyway. We just had to change the country's feeling about it.
Right.
And then Pearl Harbor happens. All of a sudden we have a feeling about it and we're okay with it. And it's almost they did it with Syria, right? And we argued against it. Maybe we should have actually at that time, and the other ones we shouldn't have. But anyway, yep. I'm skimming through all the arguments, both sides, right?
Right.
But the idea of really, you don't want to be the person that's buying into this. Oh, it's all a facade. It's just really because they want to put the screws on China, really, because that's really their biggest, you know, trade negotiator. So
right.
Sanctions really only really saying, hey, China, do some shit. Putin's chimed in and say, shut the fuck up, USA. Stop talking like that. They're crazy people. They're kind of looking at them like the messed up uncle that's done 25 years in prison. You're like, hey, you just can't talk to him that way, right? Yeah. At any minute, he may fucking snap.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like we have that, right? But on, like, I get it, right? You don't want to buy into it. But the idea, they're launching missiles, they're putting over their heads. I know other conspiracy theorists are going, oh, it's all connected for some mass control theory of world government of some kind, right? Right. But whether that's true or not, the idea is he does have missiles, right? We know he does have that. He's now proven an intercontinental launch. He's saying, hey, we can do better than that too, so don't make a big mistake. I mean, war with them is another proxy war, right? We're already in a proxy war with Russia, if you will, through the Ukraine and fighting over there. Syria is another sort of subpar proxy war going on. We're in Afghanistan. We're in Iraq at the same time. And now we're talking about this crazy fuck, you know, and what do we do with him? Whether we bomb him out, right? Putin's going, hey, leave him alone, right?
It's all just, that interaction to me has all just been like, so uncalculated, like childish behavior.
Yeah.
Like
the fire and fury thing and all this, I think that's what Putin is trying to say is like, dude, we all know the fucker's crazy. We all know he lives in his own little world that he creates for himself. He has a whole country of slaves, essentially, right. You know, that he's brainwashed, right? There's camps over there that they put people in, confined camps, work camps. It's fucking horrendous. I mean, we know these things. And we just, and Putin's like, hey, we know it. Okay.
He's we're all capable really of the same.
So he just leaves him alone. And so he's looking at Trump going, dude, you're talking shit to somebody that doesn't have, you know, their culture is a different approach, right? Their culture isn't one of, it's saving face, right? Saving face. So they're going to launch more and say more. So Putin's kind of going, hey, you know what you're talking to? You know what I mean? Quit talking that shit. You know what I mean?
It's not going to fly with that particular listener.
Right. And I think you're kind of going, where is the diplomatic process, right? Do we fucking tweet about global war? You don't know, our nuclear war. I mean, who thinks, you know what I mean? Where's the presidential approach to go, I'm now going to tweet about a potential nuclear war with another country and firing missiles to annihilate millions of people.
I feel like
I'm going to tweet about it because that's the part where I'm going to go, damn, there's no diplomacy there. There's no respect there.
I miss the days where it was like you were wanting, craving to hear what the president had to say after something, you know, when it all gets together and it's all getting figured out, then it goes to him to make that decision, that craving of just respect for their position, you know, where it's like, let's hear what he has to say. I liked that.
That FDR fireside shit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There, that's, I think for many, it was Reagan for some, but fuck that guy. You know what I mean? I mean, look, every president has their own trials. I say fuck that guy, right? He does some things, right? God forbid, if I was president, half the country would be fuck that guy, right? At more than that, 98%. So at the end, we all fuck up somewhere, right? So the idea, one, I think the president is just, it's kind of stupid still. You know what I mean? It's like the guy who is the captain of the team because he runs faster than all of us. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it feels like we're still kind of doing. And so, like, to still go head monkey, right? And then,
I mean, at least the president can still delegate, like, what he's doing now with the whole Baca thing.
Well, yeah. Well, his power fluctuates, right? And it's all this jockey for power, whether it's House, Senate control. It's all a jockey for power. And you know, stalemates, nothing changes. They talk about tax reform. They're going to get something done. Fuck you. You're not going to do shit. Yeah, nobody. It's going to be small changes to this or that or cuts. It's really a bunch of hoopla and worry about massive cuts, either for them or for them. But by the end of it, it maintains this stupid stalemate in the middle where it stays the same, where it's the other side screaming more this, the other side screaming more this, and really they just keep it neutral in the middle where nothing really fucking changes.
Nothing.
It gets worse.
Until it's drastic.
Yeah.
That's when something changes.
Yeah, when it's 1:25 at fucking sunset at a place, You know what I mean? You're kind of like, fuck.
I wonder what we're doing wrong.
Yeah, right. I still say you shouldn't live there. I'm sorry. You're the all those shows, the reality shows that are big about living in Alaska, right? All this living in snow. You're fucking nuts. You shouldn't live there. Live where that doesn't happen, where you don't have to live like that.
You lived in Alaska, right?
Hell no.
I thought you lived with your brother there for a little while.
Never. My brother lived up there just for a year and a half. Oh. Yeah, Kodiak and Kenai.
I lived in Fairbanks, Alaska. It was beautiful.
That's where half those shows are.
It was the extreme of everything. Too much of everything. There is such a thing. It was too hot to lay out. Too cold to go play. You know, too dark for too long. Too light for too long. The mosquitoes were ridiculous, but everything was the extreme. But it was also the extreme on absolutely beautiful wild animals.
Jurassic Park shit. Yes. I mean, my brother lived on the edge of a 90-foot cliff. Yeah. You know what I mean? And the tide would raise 20 feet. You know, I think of the tide going out 6 feet, right? A big one change. This is fucking 40, you know, 20 feet, the tide coming in and out, man. The pictures are beautiful. It's Jurassic shit.
His wife, Noelle, she took some really beautiful pictures.
Hell yeah. I put them on the Instagram, some of those sunsets and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, they're beautiful pictures. It is, I mean, it's a beautiful place, but when my kids for the first time went back to the United States, or to the lower 48 is what they called it from there, they were like at the park looking at the grass like, oh my gosh, it's grass. Like not even recognizing it from their age time, you know, because they weren't ever outside unless it was in their snowsuit and it was all just ice.
That's how I felt when I got back to Florida. I was like, oh my God. Well, actually I said, you know, when it first hit me, it was Oklahoma. You know, you give Oklahoma some shit, but wherever I was down the highway of 66, somewhere where I got off and the grass was tall as shit. It was green. It was fucking windy. It was beautiful. And then, I was de-cleated by Grace.
Is that where you were? Yeah. She was just running full force straight towards him. And I'm like watching some movie, I think.
I got de-cleated, man.
Yeah. He like was swiped. Literally his feet were higher than his head.
Yeah, she got me. I still got a baseball knot on the thing, golf ball knot on my shin. She straight caught me. Bam. I'm like, that just happened as I'm flipping in the air. Like, that's the movie shit.
I really thought it was so candid looking. I thought he did that on purpose. I was like, did you just like do like, yourself a little?
That really happened.
No, I got jacked. I just laid there like, oh, that's grass. And there's no mountain underneath it. I'm like, this is wonderful.
Hey, there's no snakes.
Yeah.
Or coyotes.
Well, that's Tornado Alley. So even it's so beautiful, right? You still got the fucking NEM shit coming through there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
You're fine. Didn't you live out there?
I was born in Kansas.
What the fuck? You've been all through the Midwest. Kansas.
Kansas and Mississippi on the coast and then down here.
Yeah. And what's your favorite place?
Yeah, I was
down here.
Same shit.
By far, down here.
Down here?
Yeah.
Why?
You got coast to coast. And it's salt nice, water. Green, salt water. It doesn't snow.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck snow.
I'll go visit the snow.
Yeah. Allie now is tripping. If he's listening, he's like, I'm fucking snowboard. I need snow, motherfuckers. He's running around crazy.
That's the nice thing is very Wait often it. It's Good not boat. Very far away. You know what I mean? It's not,
not coming down the mountain with trees. You don't break a leg.
Yeah. It was 3 hours to Mexico to cross that place we never went, Rock Ridge or something. And then Lake Rocky Havasu. Point? Yeah, Rocky Point. And then Lake Havasu area where we went out.
Yeah.
Hung out on the lake out there for a little bit.
I'd like to go out there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's pretty out there.
Pretty lake.
It's weird, man. It's weird. We literally camped on the lake's edge at Lake Havasu during some fucking boat race thing.
It was for my birthday.
Yeah, for your birthday.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, her birthday is Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, it was fun. We went out there and we held up an adult.
We didn't held up. We didn't. I didn't hold a gun to anyone.
lemonade stand. We had this bench and we ended up turning it this way. And everybody that was walking past or rollerblading or whatever they were doing, they would look over like we were selling lemonade or something. They'd come over and rollerblade or walk over to us and sit down and talk to us while we were drinking. What were we drinking?
Jameson. That's when I had the mohawk. I shaved the thick mohawk on my head. Went out and stood and danced under the full moon that night. And it was a good birthday.
It was fun. It actually was really fun. It was.
We camped 2 days.
Yeah. But we didn't have any hiccups. That one dude that almost had a stroke in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah. But he lived.
Yes. He was just really just like
big Jack weightlifter guy walking his little tiny. That dog was cute as shit.
It was so cute.
Walked that little dog by and he kind of.
Do you remember its name?
No.
Donut?
I don't know, but it was great. And this dude was Jack. He'd been doing deadlifts since he was two. And kind of turns a little bit, back goes out, and he's like, oh my back.
So bad for him.
He's like, yep, I haven't been able to deadlift in a while. I'm like, that's probably why that hurt.
He literally looked like he got electrocuted. I felt so bad for him.
Yeah, jacked him. But yeah, so it's weird, man, because it's clear water. It's cold water, like springs type water.
Yeah.
So it was cold at the time anyway. And the rocks look real pretty underneath it, right? Yeah. But yeah. I don't know, it's just being an ocean person, you know, used to that.
We didn't really like as far as we didn't take like a big tour on the water.
There's a big lake with rocks around it.
Well, it's much prettier. There's different areas that are pretty about Havasu.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And Sedona's really pretty up north too.
Oh yeah,
that red rock stuff is pretty. Yeah, there's definitely some some shit that you want to go see, I guess, and do.
You want to go see, not live.
Yeah, don't live there.
Go see it.
Yeah, don't look. Yeah, there's housing, good housing prices in Phoenix surrounding areas for a fucking reason.
It's fucking hot.
Especially around April.
Hey, it did house a rose.
Oh, yeah, that's what I got. I did find a rose in the desert. I did get to bring that home, though. So there's something out there. There's definitely
something good about there, right? Jeez.
Well, not anymore.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, I brought it with me.
You brought it with
me. Oh, yeah. Any updates on the store? The troll farm. Yeah, Facebook sold political ads to Russian, of course, man. That's all entwined. You know, you wait for, like, when do we vote on that app, right? You get the U.S. voter app, and you go to – if you bank online, right, you put your damn banking information and pull that stuff up. There's got to be a way that we can go to the fucking app, vote one time, you know.
And completely track to you. No mistakes, nothing.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, somehow, you know, there's got to be a way to where it's not, you got to get in fucking line, put your little fucking button on, get your sticker. You know, I voted, right? Yeah. You don't have to do any of that. You know, find your district because there's so much shit, too, about the districts. They change them because of codes and party representation, right? They're always moving them in schools, the same stuff. And it's based on school districts, too, for certain. So it's all linked where it's just like.
I think if they did simplify it, they would have a lot more. I think that if they did simplify it, that they would have a lot more voters.
Yeah. I mean, but do you want the mass majority vote? You know what I mean? Think about it. If we all lived on an island with 100 people randomly that all fell off a cruise ship and we're sitting there, do we take the majority vote? Or is it really like these 10 people, this dude's ex-Navy SEAL, this is Survivor, this is our little board here that knows what we got doctors. We know what, or do we take the vote of the, you know?
I think that they should have to take a test. And if they get a certain percentage, vote will count. And those of them that
you're
don't
pass. If you're
the ones that
questions.
Don't pass the test are put into the overage to where if there's more discard, there's more discard on each one.
You mean if there's discrepancy?
Yes.
So if it's a close race, we'll bring in the half of... What the hell? We're going back to linking, making people worth half of votes?
No. I'm saying...
But the aptitude test, that would be so subjective. The SAT and SAT or ACT.
Even if it's common sense, something to see.
I want
to
agree with you so bad. I really do.
You have to. I mean, it's like having me go into a board meeting of some business and I get to go like this. Okay. I'll take number one. Number one? I'll take number one. Just because there's
two guys
that I want to sit next to or two women.
You know, to get registered to vote, right? There's steps you got to go through, right? So when they were trying to add the got to have an ID, right? They were really ruling out a lot of lower socioeconomic status people with IDs and stuff. So they do that on purpose, right? So, but even, it should be so much easier.
Ensure that it's an actual individual.
I mean, if you go to an app, maybe put a fingerprint, right? I mean, do something with the app to it's me who voted and your fingerprint, a password that gets given to you once or something.
Yeah.
I mean, a way and you can't fucking write the bill like the lawyers did their best to write it.
But what if you're
it.
A felon? Like you can't have access to that app though.
Right. And
how do you keep that from
fingerprint somehow is linked to it? I mean, I'm no inventor. I'm no Elon Musk here, but I mean, there's got to be a way. If we online
prison,
bank,
do you still have an opinion?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Felons, or maybe while you're locked down, I don't think you vote, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe mail in your vote.
Even after you're out. No. Have you ever had a felony? Felony. You can't vote.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that shit needs to come back up too, because, you know, you get a felony, and that literally, I know so many good people that have been anchored down over their life because they made a mistake, one big mistake or a few. Doesn't matter, you know, but you get labeled with that 8, 9, 10 years. You're still kind of like, what the fuck? You know, and it's a hit, whether you're trying to rent a place to live or anything.
Right. To me, it's especially things like drug charges that are treatable, that didn't harm a specific person at the time or whatever. Maybe they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
How can you not give them some sort of redemption, some way to get out, something?
Yeah. Yeah, they get really far, man. Any location on the storm? I was going to pull that stuff up again, actually. Sounds like water's running. I'm like, is it raining that hard? Those mics are excellent. Picking up all kinds of shit.
Yeah, it's definitely moved forward. It'll pick up very
long. Yeah, it's just, it's just above Cape Canaveral now. Cape Coral right now.
Oh, it's definitely blowing in rain.
Yeah, the front's into Sarasota now, so it's moving into my mom's place now.
Oh, cool. What'd she have to say?
Oh, nothing. She's still hanging out. Just had a text that they're still good. Shutters are up. The fortress is set. Chicken wings are cooked.
I'm so happy to hear that.
A lot of people are watching the game right now.
Yes.
It's the game time.
The game.
Game time. Coronas are gone.
You know, Carrie's probably also itching to all hell because it's his team. You know?
Yeah. I'm a forgotten Giants fan. The blue ran deep for many, many years.
Yeah, back when.
I haven't sat and really watched the game in 2 years, probably. It's odd. The last game I watched was my brother's game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, we sat and watched it out in Arizona. Sat and watched him play coaching out in Anaheim. Yeah. I was BP. I'm like, what? Something Park? Bueno Park. Bueno Park out in Anaheim. Shout out to all the team out there. Building a whole new crew.
He's
head coach out there, man. He was the one telling me it's all like college shit. People recruiting, private Catholic schools recruiting, lost 61 players to private Catholic schools up there.
That's really unfortunate to me. Yeah. I like it when you have to mix the people that didn't buy their way into something.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I felt that way with the volleyball with Morgan went through. It was crazy. Some of these teams all paid off, flying girls to join teams, waiving fees. Some fees are crazy. They're doing it for high school football.
Crap. I went through it with the football with my boys. You know, there's that one group of parents that can afford to sponsor things, and all of a sudden the rules don't any longer apply to their kid. All that kind of stuff. I want to go, what happened to that coach that we go, no thanks, this is the one, the kid that deserves this. Yeah. And then, of course, those still do exist, a couple of the coaches that my boys had, but.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, my brother's dealing with that mentality of, you know, I'm a D1 prospect, right? I'm a blue chip, you know.
Yeah.
And they flaunt it like that. And it's crazy, man. There was I sound like an old man right now. There was a time where a coach would have.
Back in the day when I was playing.
right. But you know what he's going through? It's because it really means money. What it means is scholarships, it means debt or no debt.
Right.
You know, and so that's really what it means. And it's amazing, though, to see how much money is spent jockeying for the scholarship is damn near equal to what the college
education.
They would
have ended up doing if they actually just took themselves.
Right. Instead of giving their kid panic attacks and anxiety by putting them in 17 sports. Oh,
my nephew was a phenomenal football player. I mean, he got all kinds of offers for D1 colleges, and he decided to change his mind because he was the pressure was overwhelming, and he decided to try a different trade and. He's doing his own thing.
It's intense, man. And it's hard for me, you know, slowly working on the book, Athlete's Depression.
Yeah.
You know, watching guys play, you know, that are certainly getting paid. But what's the money amount compared to 10 to 15 years off your life, you know, and a risk of that? And so it's hard for me watching that as I'm researching, learning more even about not just athlete's depression coming from head injuries. I mean, the concussions themselves, but I actually think that's a smaller, much smaller portion. When even what 90 something percent of them on the test were testing for the head, CTE issues in their brains.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it's near 95, 98%, if not more, deal with mental health issues. And that's kind of what I'm writing with athlete's depression. When I watch it,
They are actually buckling down a little bit on that with the schools. Dylan, my youngest, the 17-year-old, he was hit really hard and was answering all the questions that he had a concussion. And, you know, there's some bickering back and forth of, I hope you answer these questions right. And you know what I mean? Stuff like that. And they actually didn't allow him to play for a good week, like 4-day suspension. And then, so they weren't so, but there were people pushing both directions. So I did get to see the taste of other people that kind of don't care and go, well, this is the only guy that can play that position or whatever.
Yeah. In my day, it was get back in there.
Yeah.
You know, I remember in college being hit in days pretty good. And the guy just squint your eyes and walk to the color of your jersey.
Yeah, so right.
Literally, it became squint and look for green, right? Yeah. So it would just, bam,
or
you got hit.
Or you're worthless.
Right. So, well, you don't want to come out and you lose your spot, you're in contention, yeah. Right? Every play matters. So at least where I came from. Right. So, you know, you take the shot. I remember the stars are twinkling around. Everything's kind of black and blurry. You squint. You can make out a little color. You waddle to it. You get to play, you know, and kind of get back in. And it was kind of really coming out in light, I think, as my football career was ending, is when it was really starting to get known, you know, about this.
You can kind of see that, though, in that whole generation of athletes publicly, how they all have that certain behavior of one too many hits.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
Something. The slower walk, the stutter, the something to where they age themselves far,
far faster
than they needed to.
Well, it seems, right? You're a damn near superhero, right? You're physically a superhero. So it's almost like we have this meter, right? That we are allowed to live at this certain level.
Your
and once you,
is almost out.
Yeah. Once you maximize all your level in these short spurts to be the super athlete for a short amount of time, take the impacts, et cetera, it's like you drain that out of you.
So which one would you prefer?
Out of?
The two. Would you want that kind of mundane, longer life? Or do you want to be a superstar or a superhero, whatever you prefer, as far as like where it's all crammed into
the glory
50 years
into the
instead
moments.
Of 75 years?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to see 75 anyway. But if I, you know, if I had to choose, if it was one or the other, I don't know, maybe a longer life instead of something short. Because as I've gotten older, something different. Mm-hmm. But as I've gotten older,
older is like older but sophisticated.
It's in biking. But I learned to appreciate certain things that I did when I was younger.
Yeah.
And those things that you can appreciate for a length of time that aren't linked to notions of glory or trophies, right? Or nights of.
Well, you know, I know you haven't spoken about this. Maybe you have or haven't spoken about this publicly, but I think it's okay for me to say it.
Uh-oh.
Well, what you're referencing as far as like the longevity of something, you know, when that student called you years later and wanted you to come and see him graduate.
Elijah, shout out to you, Elijah.
That has got to be the most rewarding thing ever to think that child, guy, kid, whatever, may have just completely forgotten about you. Then you get the reward of someone reminding you that they're okay because of you, or thank you for picking me up all those days and bringing me to practice. I know you shared some of those stories with me beforehand, but it was more like this one kid and da da da. You know, it wasn't like this is what I used to do. And then when you get the reward of them really appreciating the time you put into them,
well,
thanks so much.
Yeah, that's cute. That's thanks for when Elijah called. I was sitting at Brett's house down in Naples. Man, hope he's doing all right too. Getting hit. Shout out to Brett. Fit Project Radio. No, Fit Project Media. No, yeah. But I was sitting down there and he called. And it felt really good to hear. You know, but there was something about. Boat is what they called him, just BOAT, and that little cousin named Jet Ski, right? But anyway, Elijah, there was something about the kid anyway when you first met him, where you're like that kid just
something great about him,
yeah,
it was a connection.
But he needed something else. He needed that little something different. He needed somebody to go, I believe in you, you know. And I think I kind of helped him with that. And the minute he believed in himself like that, he totally. Went. I mean, he made moves on his own. You know, he got to graduate from a school I can't afford right now to send my daughter to.
Yeah.
Right. He got a transfer from, he played at Marco Island and transferred to another school and found his way there. Now I think he's actually headed off into the Navy, I believe right now, Navy, the Air Force, and signed to go in to play, playing something, or at least going to college for them.
Yeah.
But there was something about that kid, man. And there's a reward in that for sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. He's already passed so many other people in his life that have come in and out plenty. And in his most glorious moment, you came to his mind.
Oh, that's kind of him. Well, I wish I could have been there. That's the shitty part is I couldn't get down there.
I mean, life does happen. It's not like you were like, I don't feel like being there.
Well, shout out to Elijah anyway, man. But Elijah Beauplein is, yeah, I try to say it right. But he played Will linebacker for me is what he did. He was ran a 4.3 when I was the defensive coordinator at Marco Island. And he was a sophomore playing among seniors and shit like that. And, yeah, he was my That's Will nice. Linebacker. Yeah, I had to give him a shot. He was athletically fit to it, had a smart for the game. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, you're starting. He's like, what the fuck? I'm like, yeah, you're starting, man. I
said, you don't even realize every day how many people you're actually impacting.
Well, coaches do, and that's part of the, you know, that's the tricky part about the book, Athlete's Depression, that I know I'm going to get into, is it's not a anti-sports book at all, but it's an investigative look at the mental impact of playing sports and the after effects of sports, et cetera, but from a mental health standpoint, not a concussion standpoint. And it's hard, like, it's hard not to understand all the good that does come from that.
It doesn't always have to be an injury, though, as well, right? You find that?
Just when it's over.
Being,
yeah, it doesn't have to be an injury. Time plays. You don't want to play anymore. It happens to athletes that don't even want to play anymore. That literally go, you know, they're not injured or whatever. They're just done. High school, whatever, it's over. College, a year or so, it's over. Whatever. And even pros that play a year or two and walk. There have been some recent ones that were top draft picks that were just like that signed a year or two, made some money, and just deuces, you know, and left. And so, you know, they know what they're getting into.
Do you think you hear a lot when females go through the athlete's depression that it immediately goes towards what their age is or what shape they're in as far as like why they're no longer number one?
No, I think it's equal to male and females. I don't think it's
subjects, nothing.
Yeah, I don't see any difference between the genders really in sports and competitive as far as the depression. Now, athlete's depression is the diagnosis, but it's open as well to its experiences, of course, subjectively, right? Like anxiety, depression all run together.
Right.
I think it's equal in the two for sure. But I think what I'm finding is a lot of women's sports are not upheld in the same hierarchy of as men's sports are today. It's just not. Yeah. So you're not looking to make the WNBA so you can make millions of dollars.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just, it's a difference, right? That's just how it is,
yeah,
right?
It's what when's the last sells, time you, unfortunately.
When's the last time you watched a girls fast pitch softball high school or little league championship?
Usually when I'm ready to take a nap.
Right. So now I got into watching volleyball. For some reason,
no, I mean, you really do. You lay down and you're like so chill watching it. I mean, they can throw that ball like a freaking missile.
Yeah.
And plus, I like to see their, I'm a very competitive person in general. So when I see that little spicy attitude from the girls, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, my girlfriend in high school played it, right? But my point is it doesn't get the notoriety. Even the Olympics, actually. Yeah. There's been a couple of people pretty boisterous about it that the lower end sports that don't get a lot of notoriety, when the athletes, particularly the women athletes, were in Brazil and Rio at the time, that they're left to popcorn and snack type foods for nutrition preparation, really not taken care of. And so
they're not giving that athlete care.
Yeah. You know, I do believe women though are just as susceptible because the label of who I am not only comes from the social influence, but it's personally defined. So if I'm personally defining myself as the fast pitch softball girl, right, the volleyball player, if that's what I do, that's still my self definition of what I am, what I lose, how my social circles are defined,
right?
You know, and I think it's more about the awareness of it, really. You know, being aware of that will change, right? You may not be that.
I think it happens a lot when that is their life instead of a part of their life.
Yeah, that's a difference.
You know, because then it's not like they're going to die without it.
Yeah.
But when it's like all that they care about, and I've met plenty of athletes like that, you know, for a long time, my sons were like that. Matthew, you know, my older son, he would wake up, sports, go after school. Then there's another thing. And there's another thing, competitive. It's never ending.
But that's the catch, right, is if you play, it's you're in this, son. It's all the way in. It's life. It's 24/7 to get to the top. Right. Well, what they're saying is to get to the money in the big show is what they're saying.
Right. If you want to win this.
Right. Then you got to do that. Right. Yeah. But the other aspect is how do you then do what you say, which is healthy is a beautiful mental health approach. It's a healthy approach to say that you are not what you do. Right. That I don't just have football, but I can tell you that if football in my time wouldn't have been what it was for me. holy shit, I would have been a fucking problem. You know, I kind of was, but I would less of, I've been more of a problem.
What
if? Yeah, I would have been a community issue. You know what I mean? And it wasn't. So it's still that fine line we're trying to comb through with the book of, you know, what's the, it's all or nothing. Because without it, I didn't give a shit.
Right.
You know, so when it was my whole life, it was better than what I was doing.
Too. Yeah, I was just going to say the people that it is their whole life. Some of the things like me growing up, when I had those distractions, it was great, even though it may not even have been good for me. But it was a distraction.
Yeah.
So even if sports are your whole life, a whole life full of sports is better than a life full of fighting and anger.
Well, look where it comes from. We go right from not playing whatever game or wrestle, sport, whatever the fuck it is. We go right from it to pick your team, right? I'm a Giants fan. I'm a Cowboy fan. And then we get into it so hardcore as if like Sunday, we're the ones suiting up that day. You know what I mean? It gets fucking crazy.
You know what sucks is when you have to, I have a pretty good tolerance. I know there's excitement where you're like, yes, this is cool. Woo! You get that loud one where you go, shut, what the hell just happened, right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't have done that. But I did. Anyway. But then there's those people that continuously drag on screaming at that screen and making it miserable for everyone around them. Are you guys those people?
No, I was the guy that was in it. I totally was the guy that was into the call or whatever. Now, if the game was over and it lost, I didn't let it roll into like a Monday to where I'm like, fuck you, my team lost. Right, I wasn't this guy. Right, but I had fun. I would be into the game, if you will. And then after you learn so much, you just kind of go, I can't watch that shit anymore. And the distractions too. Now, I am a firm believer in the need for distractions, right? Here's my argument to the other side of the people that go, you know, I say this, that sports are a distraction from more important things in life. It keeps you look over here as we do over here. I agree. As a mass distraction, it's a beautiful thing. It keeps people distracted, focused on Sunday, forget that they're working more days than they should be in their lives.
Yeah.
Whole bunch of destruction. But in jest. Well, there's going to be something, right? So whether we're watching football or we're looking to change the world economy at the same time, there's going to be something that we do, right? Where we hang out or
there's an outreach of some sort.
There's a culture somewhere, right? So whether the culture is football or the culture is this, is something that distract. Well, everything's a distraction. Then if we're not waking up every day constantly trying to save the world. Right. Yeah. And which is necessary. Maybe that's the point we should be doing. Maybe we fucking should be waking up every day going, we need to save the world, make it better. But as a culture as a whole, right, I'm arguing my own point that I think watching is a waste of time that I make that argument. So I'm still arguing. Yeah. I'm still arguing to myself, right, is that we're concerned and so deep into it.
No, I think there are certain things that you need to focus, not you individually.
People. Remember my words?
GU,
Adam, so, trademark, copyright, GU as referring to the general use. So when talking in a public setting or to someone privately, they are clear it's not them you are talking about. So when you're saying, now when GU goes to the store.
Yeah.
Continue. Sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
Copyright, so, trademark, 1999.
I'm totally screwed up. Thanks. I don't even remember.
No, I it's fun to get lost sometimes. My last Rampage, we were re-listening to that, and I'm like, I got lost twice where I'm out there, and I know I'm holding on to my own life jacket. I'm out there going, where the fuck did I just go? And I know I'm in the middle of a rant. I've lost it, and now I'm kind of holding on to the life jacket somewhere in the realm of the space I was talking about, waiting at any moment, and then you go, there it is. And then you're like, all right, I'm back on track. Sorry for that left field squirrel shit.
I think I've done some backtracking with him many times.
It took me 3 days to tell you 6 stories.
I know. I would seriously have to sometimes go, can we finish the last story real quick?
Yeah, but hold on. This story's good.
And then this was good too.
I get into that one. Then 3 days later, I go, remember that one? Yeah, that's how it all connected at this place. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, wasn't it epic? It was great. But it's like 6 days.
Oh, that's the ending of that one. Okay.
On that, how about we in the first session of the Hurricane Podcast now? I'm full of urine and I'm about to break.
That was a great departure.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
So on that end, we'll come back live. It's stopped raining outside.
Not so much.
No, still coming down. It's picking up.
I think I might have to divert to some wine.
Yeah, it's 8:34. We got a bottle of red and white, man. Whichever you prefer.
Both.
All right, then. So we'll come back live. We could just leave this live and turn the music on and go hang out a bit and then just come back on. But I don't want to have to edit it. Then, or Steve and I will have to go back in the middle and cut the music out so YouTube doesn't jack us. But
all the work part of it.
Yeah, Matthew or whatever that came by last time. I did two sessions through it. So,
Well, see, and if you're using it just to play, you're just putting it out there. I don't see why it's an issue.
No, we're just hanging.
Anytime we go live, you know, playing music and stuff, it's the same issue. It's like, what am I doing wrong? I'm promoting it.
Yeah, we're just in. So I hope everybody's safe that's been affected by it, it's been hit by it. You're hunkered down. As we call this podcast, it's now picking up on my radar. It's moving past Fort Myers. Looks like it's taking a bit of a inland path now. Like it's kind of circling toward, looks like it passed Cape Coral. Yeah, and moved inland even further, which is going to break it up.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's going to break it up for sure. Move it further away from Sarasota and Port Charlotte areas. But it's definitely moving through there in Tampa. It's going to get to us here. About an hour or so. So we'll come back live in maybe an hour or so.
I bet it might be longer than that before we get there.
It's going to be a minute.
Irma's slow. She's a slow.
It'll be a minute.
Slow. All right.
We love y'all. Keep hanging out.